Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
You hit me once, I hit you back. You gave a kick, I gave a slap. You smashed a plate over my head, then I set fire to our bed. You hit me once, I hit you back. You gave a kick, I gave a slap. You smashed a plate over my head, then I set fire to our bed. Oh, my black eye casts no shade.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian. I have here Oral.
Hi, everybody. Hashtag Amora Oral.
Amen, sister. Eric.
Hey, baby.
Our resident Jean Grey. And the flaming heterosexual, Jeff.
Always a pleasure.
We are here today to discuss things in the media that we are enamored with, we hated, or we just kind of went, eh. But we want to mention it anyway. Just so you know, there will be spoilers, as there always are on this show, so please, if you don't want to be spoiled, just kind of pay attention to what we're going to talk about and skip out.
But by the time we actually put it out, it's like 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
People will
still complain about spoilers, though.
No, they do. And this is why I'm saying it now, because a lot of times we just kind of roll through it. But this goes without saying, I think, from pretty much from here on out. Now, there are some things that we may not spoil because I don't want to have it spoiled, or Jeff doesn't want to have it spoiled.
Oh, that's always been the case.
But sometimes we'll do it anyway, and we'll be very quiet for that section. Is what happens.
To be fair, I don't have a problem with spoilers. That's I don't true. Mind things being ruined for me as
like
long as they're.
You ruined Batman Begins.
Oh, you're going to hold that over me the rest of my life, aren't you?
Told me that he was actually Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, just, wow, that's terrible.
Just blurted it out.
Horrible brother.
Because I should have seen it coming. Like, come on. We should have known.
From that first promotional photo.
They try to get over on it.
I was mad at the time. But anyway,
yes.
But one thing, well, we'll talk about it. So let's dig in. Movies-wise, there haven't been a whole lot of new amazing movies that we're all very excited about that we have seen. But there are a few trailers that have come out.
Yeah.
Most recently, there was a Transformers, I believe.
Yeah,
Dinobots.
The Marky Mark trailer.
Yeah, I know.
The first trailer is like, is he even in the movie?
Well, so this is still the same series of Transformers movies, but they are relaunching, rebooting, new humans, same robots, but
it's
now
edgier.
With Dinobots. Oh, edgier?
It's edgier. Like they said, the time of Transformers is over, so I guess after the shit that went down in the third one, they kind of like got rid of the Transformers. And
the government's turned on them. They don't need them anymore.
Until the world goes shit again.
And then, oh, look, there's more Transformers coming down from the sky.
Now they're Dinobots.
I do like the Dinobots.
I love the Dinobots.
I also like the Constructicons. Is that what they called them? The little...
That was in the last one.
Was it? Oh, that's right. Yeah. But anyway, I'm a big fan of those kind of things. You think they'll ever get to Beast Wars?
I would kill for a Beast Wars movie.
I would.
You never know. Okay, if they're rebooting, we have another trilogy coming.
Well, and you know, I would like actually some of these where they go back to Cybertron movies. You know, yeah. That'd be cool. Or
the video games. The video games still take place before all the shit goes down. So it's all about the war on Cybertron. So that's kind of cool.
I haven't.
Which makes no sense why they turn into cars when they're still on Cybertron.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are the video games?
Yeah.
So we play.
Are the video games any good, though?
Yeah, I actually heard they're really good.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Another trailer, I had seen this, I think maybe the Super Bowl or right after, the new Godzilla.
Apparently
we have two strong Godzilla fanboys in the room.
I can't wait.
I just want to see Mothra and the little Polynesian girls.
You have to wait a sequel.
Because those
and
are
the clam?
Mm-hmm. And the clam. Yeah. Are they in a clam?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember that. Oh, that's right, they come out of the clam. Okay. Mm.
And they bring in Rodan, that would be sweet.
Rodan would be nice.
I love my own Rodan movie.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I love that trailer where it's just Bryan Cranston like rage crying at people. You tried to hide it, and now it's come back.
There was
and there's nothing we can do.
Blue meth, baby.
Well, like, I guess there was some screening that a whole bunch of different websites went to, and they played the scene that they used in the trailer for Bryan Cranston talking about that. It happens early on in the movie, and they don't give away what happens, but he's very upset. And they said that just that performance alone was like he's going for an Oscar in a Godzilla movie. like it works. It works.
Great. Godzilla looked great, and they still have the screen.
You know, I didn't realize how bigger each movie he gets bigger and bigger.
Oh my God,
and
he was
bigger.
Humongous.
Yeah, I mean, he towers.
Well, I mean, last time he was just an Asian guy in a Godzilla suit.
Oh, wait, the Matthew Broderick one?
No, he was an iguana.
We ignore that one.
Oh,
we don't count that.
Okay. No.
What about the one in the 80s with.
Was in a Godzilla suit.
Yeah,
was the Godzilla suit.
But not the Japanese one, though. The American.
Yeah,
okay,
1985.
They had the suit then?
Godzilla
okay.
1985. I remember those days.
Yeah.
It was a Godzilla suit.
Okay.
That was how, what was it, Toho? Those are the guys of the production company? Toho, that's how they did it.
Well, of course. Now, I feel like there's one more trailer. I know I've been seeing
Guardians. Did we talk about Guardians?
No, I don't think we did. So, yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
Ooga Chaka. Ooga Chaka.
I love that song, which was awesome. The humorous tone, like with James Gunn helming this, you kind of figured it would be a little humorous.
Yeah.
And, you know, given that the book has a good little dose of sarcasm and sort of, you know, that kind of, I don't know, it's adventure. I don't know. It felt like something from, like, the 80s. I don't know.
They're giving you Red Dwarf.
I think that's great.
That's what I'm getting from it. It's this, like, yes, you're out in the cosmos, and there's this slight kind of like ridiculousness to it, but it all is very, it's still very serious, but it's very not lighthearted, just kind of goofy, not too slapsticky, but I'm excited.
All right, we're excited. What do you think the rest of the world's going to think that don't know that they rely on the movies for their superheroes? We know the Guardians. We're excited.
It's a complete dice roll at this point.
That's the thing. You know, I'm like, I'm super stoked, but like, when I talk to my brother-in-law, my niece and nephew, they're like, what the hell was that?
This is Marvel back in 2007, because they took a complete chance with Iron Man.
True.
People knew the Hulk. People knew Spider-Man. People knew X-Men, even. Nobody knew who Iron Man was that didn't read the comic books.
That's
and it worked.
True.
Well, he had his mullet TV show.
Did he?
In the 90s, the animated one?
The cartoon. Yeah, but they had an Avengers cartoon, too.
Yeah, that's true.
This one, that was a complete... The only thing that help pull that in was all the major actors. They don't even have... Well, actually, no, I take that back, because they have Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
They got
Chris Pratt.
They got Chris Pratt.
Oh, looks so dreamy.
Oh, my God, he looks incredible.
Jason Momoa. Not he's a big actor, but people follow
him. The one who's playing Gamora. How do you say her name? Zoe?
Zaldana.
So they have a decent cast.
What I love is their voice talent. I mean, you have Vin Diesel, who...
He says one thing.
Yeah, he says one thing in the whole movie. They just reuse it over and over. And then what's his name? Bradley Cooper. You know, they're just voice actors, so that'll be interesting.
What's his name, Mr. Cellophane?
I was thinking, I can't never think of his name.
John C. Reilly. Yeah.
His role, he's Nova, I think.
He's part of the Nova Corps.
He's Nova Corps. I swear, if they call him Richard Ryder, I'm walking out.
No, they can't.
No, man.
I would drop my popcorn on the floor and just
I
walk
would
out.
Burn every theater to the ground.
Not going with you, girl.
Because Nova, the way they look, is nothing like Nova the way any of us have ever...
And that's my only nitpicky thing about it is that I love Richard Ryder. I love Nova.
I do, too.
Jeff Loeb's Sam Alexander, I've stopped because it's just, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really, and it's not that it's a bad book. It's a great book for a younger audience,
yeah.
But it's just, I don't care.
It's not R. Nova. It's right. It's kind of like probably when Wally West was introduced. A lot of fans were like, well, that's not mine. Or when Kyle came around and, you know.
Right.
I mean, he has his place, and it actually, the way he's been drawn out and his backstory, he could be just like Richard Rider could come back and they'd be good. Like, it's not the same thing. But I think they're going to have Sam Alexander, maybe, if not. They're not going to do Rich Rider.
Yeah, knowing Marvel and how they're trying to build a unified front for all of their media, yeah. They would push.
They would probably show Sam as a human on Earth, not, but everybody would, else knowing.
Yeah, they would do, after this movie, if it does well enough, they would probably do a Sam Alexander origin story. Like they did in the first six issues. Yeah. They do something like that.
Which is interesting.
Like, turns out, his dad was a Nova Corps.
He's been in the Ultimate Spider-Man, I think. He's been there.
The cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah, no, the books. And then I think he was there even before his little cameo in the books, and then he got his own series. So he's been around for so little time, and yet because Loeb is Mr.
Marvel TV.
Yeah, he's kind of...
Gonna put my son everywhere. Yeah. My son's going to be everywhere.
Which is kind of cool. But all right. So while we're talking about movies, I just finally watched Riddick.
Oh, how was it? I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't seen it.
What I loved about Pitch Black is the kind of simplicity of the situation, but yet this character who at the time nobody knew. And then
it was an indie film.
It
was
very
or less.
Much so. But that's
like the
what
first
this.
One?
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
Pitch Black,
absolutely.
So low budget.
Well, and that's what this one is.
I loved it though.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. So Riddick, so there's three movies in the Riddick collection. Middle one was the big budget, crazy, whatever.
It was because Pitch Black did so well. What if we throw $100 billion
and billions?
And honestly, Chronicles of Riddick was not bad at all. It just wasn't as well received.
You're the only one who thinks that.
Yeah. Really? I don't know. I like the Necromongers. I like the Underverse. I like all that. Carl Urban is fabulous. And he comes back. And so they bring a little bit of that back to kind of give backstory.
Just to explain.
Most of the movie is like Pitch Black. It's on a planet. Riddick is trying to survive against... adversaries, we'll just say that.
Because they wanted credit that he was a prisoner again, they crash landed on that planet again, right? Is that the thing?
Not exactly. He gets on the planet. I don't want to spoil how. But basically, he's there, and there's these bounty hunters, and there are these other people who want him, and who will do whatever it takes to capture him or kill him. And he has to, at first, basically survive and sort of take care of them, like, not kill necessarily, but in some cases, but just avoid or incapacitate, so it changes. Like there's a thing that happens again. I don't want to spoil too much, even though it's been out forever. There's a thing that happens that eventually changes everything, and the planet starts to kind of come alive and things change, kind of like in Pitch Black,
right?
Where they're all out to survive. In fact, there's a scene that was in the trailer. It's got him on this mountain, and there's lightning and thunder, and there's all these creatures coming up the thing,
right.
And he's only got like a. Not even a sword. I think he's just got like a rock and he's like banging. I mean, that scene is one of the coolest like shots and just it's kind of awesome.
He must
have
been naked.
If only.
So naked.
Because I'll tell you this.
Starbuck gets naked in it.
She does. And
I don't care.
Well, some of our listeners, in fact, actually more than we'd think, are straight and they like women. So.
Or we have a good lesbian contingent that would
and
love
actually,
to see some Katie Sackhoff.
She is a lesbian in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Ostensibly. It's kind of. A little back and forth. But I will just tell you this. If you haven't had a chance to see Riddick, it's out on Blu-ray. It is awesome.
Worth the watch.
Yeah. If there's only a couple, the CG budget, we could tell was a little low. Because some of the scenes with those ships from the Chronicles of Riddick, they look a little cheesy. Like sci-fi movie of the week sort of graphic
level. Probably
from
Sharknado.
The same thing.
Yeah. They just spliced in
only,
the footage.
Though, I think it would have looked better because, anyway. So let's move on to some TV. Speaking of lower budgets, let's talk. It's a lot of TV. Now, I have not watched Looking yet.
Did you watch the season finale?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God damn it.
I was out. Girl, we can't talk. It was.
How many episodes is this?
You're here.
Jared just walked into the room.
Right arrival,
Jared.
We're talking about Looking, the show I have yet to watch. How many episodes were in the season?
Six.
That is really short.
Oh.
Is it short? Little thing.
I thought it was eight.
Well,
was
I guess.
Yeah, no,
HBO
it's eight.
Those
it's
little,
eight.
Little, like,
I think. British I think style. You guys are right in the middle. I think it was seven.
Fuck you, Jeff.
So, I mean, overall successful sort of look at gay sort of culture in San Francisco?
It was real. For me, it was like what really goes on.
Yeah.
You know, how like people just live their lives and they try to look for the happiness and the drama and the relationships. It was fun.
It's very
slice
of...
And I can't say anything and I hate you all.
I know. It's very slice of life.
Okay.
And I'm in love with Richie. I love you, Richie.
Any other
it
famous...
was eight episodes. Eight oh. episodes.
I the guy from the British... What's the show?
Oh, yeah,
Russell
yeah.
Tovey.
I heard he's like a...
He's hot.
And he looks good.
I can't... Oh.
Like all muscly.
The thing is, I've always loved Russell Tovey. Yeah. Like, sometimes I would only watch Being Human for Russell Tovey. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that he shows up as a recurring, like, character mm-hmm. is just everything. And they...
Yeah, yeah.
They mm-hmm. really... play the part, like play up that he's actually an attractive guy.
Yeah.
Because in all of his other roles, he's kind of been the ones that I've seen.
He's the weird looking one.
Yeah, he's like the dowdy, quiet, awkward one. But oh God.
So what they're saying is you need to watch.
All right, can I say one thing? Can I give one thing away?
Yes. Yeah.
So Scott Bakula makes out with Dom.
I was gonna wonder if he showed back up or if
he's
pretty consistent on the show and. They just, I was just like, oh.
I'm watching it
Scott
tonight.
You go, Scott. Yeah.
Does it make you want to watch Quantum Leap again in a whole new light?
No.
No.
Make you want to watch Enterprise again?
No. God, no.
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 So, now this is very important. We have had two episodes of RuPaul Drag Race.
Yes.
Season 6.
Oh, wait a minute. Backtrack. Did we finish with?
If
you haven't watched Looking, definitely give it a shot. It's slice of life. It's not Queer as Folk.
It's
sex all
raunchy,
the time. It's
over
just
the top.
People living their lives, slice of life stuff. If you like that sort of thing, then totally watch it. And, it's a character study.
And now you have the end of the season, so you can go and watch the entire season in one run.
Mm-hmm.
Half-hour episodes, pretty easy to binge watch.
Yeah.
I love you, Ro. I love you so much.
So we've had two episodes of RuPaul Drag Race, and the third one is on tonight. We tape on a Monday, and there's no tape involved, but you know. And so far, we've been introduced to all the main people. In fact, they did a two-part opening where half the girls came out the first week, and then one of them was eliminated. Half the girls came out the second week, and another one was eliminated. What do we think? Who's our favorites, or who are we least
I like
favoring?
The one that you liked. That
Ben De La Creme?
Ben De La Creme.
Yes, that's the one I like.
Not Jinx's brother. That was incorrect, or uncorrect, if you like that. But they are BFFs.
Okay.
I had heard that, and I think I said that. Anyway, so yeah, I love Ben De La Creme. But what about the second group? Who do we like in the second group?
And nobody impressed me.
You like Milk?
I kind of like Milk. Milk, I
was
like.
Was that the first one?
It's the second
bearded.
One. The
bearded.
Beard.
Like, came out in, like, the Arabian sort of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Had the little fake beard on.
The very first one reminded me of you that came out in the second one, the really bitchy one. Oh, come on, girl. Think about it. It was you. Tearing everybody apart.
The
everybody
the
apart.
One,
the dark to Spanish one.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The first one that showed
oh,
up.
Yeah,
the big eyelash.
My Rolodex of hate.
Amidala.
Yes. Yes.
Trinity.
Was that?
I think it's Trinity.
No.
I'm from New York. I know.
Trinity. Trinity is the one from Atlanta. You're going to have to forgive us, everybody. It's only been two episodes. It's the first. Like, we would be past this because, you know, like, you're constantly, oh, it's week two, and now there's only 13.
I haven't caught any of the episodes yet, but I do have to say that we have to lend some support to the show because one of the contestants is a brother of one of our friends at the comic shop.
Yep. Yes, actually, the one that reminds... Yeah, the one that reminds...
April Carrion is...
The one that came out is the first episode and came out like military.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. Oh, wow. That is fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. You did say. So, I mean, and not objectionable. Certainly, I don't mind them. The only one that I don't like is the Asian one from the
that
first group.
Bitch. Oh.
Kardashian.
I can't
something, something,
stand that
Kardashian.
Asian one.
Wait, her actual... She's going in with the name Kardashian?
Yeah.
Oh, she fits in perfectly.
Well, yeah. She's a bitch and she's got a booty and it's all the stuff. But, who's the other one I didn't like? In the second group, there was one I did not like either. But I think actually it's the one they cut with a really thin nose. The one that they cut.
Yeah.
But no, I like Milk. I like the Australian one. Courtney. Oh, crap. Courtney Act.
Courtney Act.
I love her. I think she's really pretty and she's a little. I don't know how old she is, but she seems like not as young as some of them, but not as old as some of them.
Mm.
I do love the one from New York that Divine Grace mentioned, and I can't think of her name.
Yes, we're terrible. Oh,
I love her though.
We could look it up
if only we had the internet. But I'm talking. Oh. But the I can't talk and Google. I rely on
everybody.
Google.
Get out your smartphones.
Your smartphone is, you know.
There's one that came in the second episode that reminded me of Macaulay Culkin in Drag.
Oh. Who's that?
The one that had the only two dresses, that had crazy glued the dress to the mannequin and was ripping at it to put it on.
Was she the one that had the quinceañera as her box? No. Well, I will say also from the first group, I actually really like... Well, okay. I'm torn. I like the one from American Idol. Again, I can't remember the name, but it's the one from American Idol.
Of Christ.
the Australian one?
No. Well, no. That she was on.
She was beautiful.
The Australian American Idol.
Cotton.
One of the ones.
You want me to read off all the names?
Please. We'll tell you which ones we know.
All right. We have Adore Delano, April Carrion,
yes,
Ben de la Creme, Bianca Del Rio, Courtney, Darianne Lake. I'm pronouncing that right, Darianne. Gianna Gunn.
Oh, this is terrible. Okay, stop.
Yeah, so this is, there's, yeah, like visual, I go, oh, yeah, that one and that one. Yeah.
Names. Jocelyn Fox. No. Ooh, LaGrange Estrange.
Okay, let's talk about LaGrange, because I want to like some of what she's doing, but this is the one that does the fainting goat routine. She just drops to the floor. And to me, it looks... It, like, first of all, I will say it's impressive. Painful. It looks painful, look, and I can't imagine practicing.
I used to do death drops like you wouldn't believe.
Okay.
And you have to be really careful, because if you do it right, you fall and like your back leg, like one of your legs supports you, because you fall and you land on it, and you make sure that your arm is behind your head so don't give yourself a concussion. Right. So it really doesn't hurt. However, there are times where you miss. And you're just like, and I'm going to keep drinking whiskey because I am in pain right now.
Now, this relates to something that happened recently. We had the sisters event, the indulgence ball.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly it was a ball where there was a lot of voguing.
Yes.
And I guess what I didn't realize is how popular the voguing culture and some of that was with African Americans. Is this like a thing?
That's ball. Like, that's a ball culture.
I didn't know anything about this. Last I heard of voguing was back in like the 80s, like that Alan Moore beast.
Fashion beast?
Yeah, because that was sort of touching on.
Have you just want to say Vogue for Madonna? You know he's not the white man that he is.
Madonna's voguing, I'm sure, touched, like, it just touched it.
That was at the tail end of the popularity. Yeah.
So that's what I didn't know recently, like, that's still a thing.
Because
I watched, I saw the picture, I didn't see any of it, but I saw pictures, and people were doing these kind of outrageous gestural sort of things, and I just didn't know about that.
Yeah, like, it's, Paris is Burning is... Have you never watched Paris is Burning?
I did, but it must have been years ago.
Yeah,
I don't
watch
remember.
It again. Because, like, voguing, like, there are performance houses and there are voguing houses.
Okay.
And sometimes they intermix.
Okay.
And so I have a friend who goes by High Dizzy Kid Ninja, and he's part of the House of Ninja.
Okay.
So he can vogue if he wants to, but they're more of a, like, performance house.
Okay. And when you say performance house, is it, like, performance art or is it, like...
Yes.
Okay.
So sometimes it's performance art, but he's a fantastic dancer,
okay.
And he's comes from the House of Ninja, which is in Paris is Burning.
Oh.
And so, like, that that is still a mainstay.
Okay. Well, relating back to Estrange, LaGrange, Melange, whatever, like, I didn't know if she was doing that or what the hell that was. But.
I don't know what death drop is, so I Googled it, and I'm watching a YouTube video on how to death drop.
Well, this reminds me of a thing we watched recently. I guess in Jamaican nightclubs, there's this thing called daggering, where men will jump. So you'll have a woman booty dancing.
Okay.
And then you'll have a man kind of like dry humping. But then some of the ones we watched, in fact, the video I watched had like wrestling commentary going on as the audio.
Oh, God.
And it had the men jumping from like the speakers down to like dagger. I mean, that's what it's called.
Oh, my God, Tony Schiavone, can you believe he just came off the top rope?
It's kind of hilarious. And so there's, like, all these little cultural things. I just I never heard. No idea. So, who else was on the show that we wanted to mention? I guess that's it. Well, so far, are we happy with the show? Like, do we like
I like that challenges. They did it, like, the two separate teams, yeah, and then they're going to merge them. So that was giving more face time.
Yes.
And a smaller group. So that was nice. She has a lot. RuPaul has a lot more guests. Like, yeah, A-class kind of guests, like, now. No longer LaToya Jackson.
Oh, LaToya?
LaToya.
Did you finish your list, or were there a few more?
Oh, there
were
a few more.
There's a few more, but I...
we'll do our homework. We'll watch the next couple episodes. By the time we come back, we'll know all these queens. Mm-hmm.
We'll be down to just seven.
Be easier to know them all.
But, Eric, milk out of drag alone, I don't know why you... Yeah, see, I knew my girl. I know my girl.
What?
You're just...
Milk out of drag...
There's a couple of them.
Some of them I'm like, oh my.
Adore Delano is, I think, the one from America. He's really cute. Mm-hmm. God, a bunch of them are really cute out of drag.
Bunch of, I'm just like, oh.
And then there's Vivacious. And then the other one from New York.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah. No, actually, and then the bigger queen, who I actually really like. She's really funny. Out of drag, she looks like Melman from the Letterman. What was the...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It looks like him. Anyway. All right. Back to serious fiction television. Not that reality show stuff that we talk about. I have not watched True Detective. I know several people who have, including Jeff here.
Oh, such a good show.
Tell me in a... Don't spoil it, because I think... It's still sort of... It just ended, right?
Like, yeah. They just had the finale last night. Crashed HBO Go.
Why is it so good? Why do people love this so much?
The performances.
Okay.
And
Matthew McConaughey and...
Woody Harrelson. And the direction. The scenes. Even though it's all taking place in, like, Louisiana, like, all the parishes down in the South, it looks gorgeous.
Okay.
And, like, the guy, I guess, Kerry... Fukunaga or Fuji... Now, I will look that up, and I will apologize for butchering the guy's name, but, like, he was an indie director, and they pulled him for this show,
uh-huh,
and he's going on to do, like, all sorts of crazy big movies coming up because of this show.
Oh, wow.
The direction's beautiful, and, like, I was listening to a couple different people's interpretations now that the season's wrapped. Mm-hmm. It's a show you go in, and you look at it, and you go, there's so many crazy ideas they're throwing at you, because it's a murder mystery, and these Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey are cops investigating it. And you think it's like Woody Harrelson is this kind of atypical, he's an asshole cop, but he's cheating on his wife, but he's a good cop, and, you know, that's kind of like he gets a pass for that. But Matthew McConaughey just plays this just soul-broken man who's a knack for solving murders, but he's just this, doesn't believe in God and thinks the world was a mistake and thinks that humanity discovering consciousness was a mutation, a fluke.
Ooh, I like him.
Like, but his performance is just it draws you in, and it's worth the show.
Is it sort of supernatural or not really?
I don't want to say.
Okay, so that's part of the mystery of the.
Yeah. What I hear, and I don't know, you watch the show, that they're going to treat it the way they treat American Horror Story, that it's going to be the same thing, but now different cast in the next season.
And that's why this entire season, you don't know how it's going to turn out, because nobody is coming back. It's a completely brand new story. They haven't even announced casting for season two yet. So
it's an anthology series, like Horror Story,
but
with different characters, different actors.
Because nobody's coming back, you don't know how it's going to end. It could go horribly wrong. It could turn out okay. You don't know.
Yeah. Right.
So it's
Did somebody? I think I was in the iFanboy, and they talked about it. A book series. Is it related? Is it based on a book series or based on something?
The guy who wrote the season is a crime novelist.
Okay,
Nick Palazzo. Uh-huh. I think, and he's done these stories before, so this is just him doing, like, the TV show.
It's not based on one of his old series, it's just
I don't think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I definitely need to check it out now that it's on HBO Go, which evidently kind of crashed on...
In the middle of the finale.
Oh, wow. No.
Pissed off. So, I didn't see it because we got home kind of late, and they usually put up the episode for HBO Go watchers at, like, a half hour in, so, like, 9:30 you can go on and watch the finale.
Right.
It started at 9.
Oh, that's good. It'd be the next day.
Yeah. Now it wouldn't log in. I couldn't watch it until this morning.
Wow.
Like, first thing. So, yeah. But it was great. It's only 8 episodes. If you haven't watched it yet, it's
8 hour long.
It's basically an 8 hour long movie. It's one long, because it's the same director and the same writer all the way through the whole show, which is, like, even Game of Thrones doesn't have the same director for episode to episode.
Right. So, another gorgeous, oh my God, the show. Hannibal came back.
Still haven't done it.
So good.
So
I just too many procedural.
It's okay. Well,
just
you know,
it's not Mexican pretending to be Anthony Hopkins. I don't buy
this.
This
is the thing about Hannibal. It's delightfully not a procedural, but there are elements of it. Mm-hmm. I think this is, they kind of sold it to the network a little bit like that. But I listened to the Nerdist Writers panel with Brian Fuller, who, by the way, I think I love him. I think
I already loved him before that.
I loved what he produced, but hearing him talk about what he produced, hearing his background, there's just so much about him like that exudes out of his art and is in when he's talking about things that I know this man is amazing.
And, well, and for anybody that doesn't know, he also did
Wonder Falls. Well, so he kind of started the Dead Like Me, but then left pretty quickly thereafter.
Right.
Actually found out one of the characters from that became Ned for Pushing Daisies.
Yep.
And Wonder Falls. He also did that not so great Adam, or what was it called? Not Adam's Family, the other one.
Yeah, Adam's Family. The Munsters. He did the Munsters movie that was a pilot that nobody wanted.
He talked about that on Nerdist thing. Basically, it was too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Network just kept interfering. Anyway, so he's show running Hannibal. The plan is they're going to try to do at least 3 seasons, because what they're trying to do is sort of echoes of the 3 big books, not the Hannibal Rising nonsense or whatever. But so the first season was meant as an echo of Red Dragon. This second season is an echo of Silence of the Lambs, which you can kind of see if you know what's happening in it. And the third season is going to be an echo of Hannibal.
See, and that's shifted, because originally when they brought it back, he was talking about if they brought it back and they just let him have his way, he was going to do all the books.
Well, I didn't finish. So he wants to do at least 3. If they get that far, the fourth season will be Red Dragon.
That would be nice.
So, if you're a big Hannibal fan, this show is amazing. The acting is all very good. It's just gorgeous. It's dark. I mean, don't go in it. we watched it. Pat and I watched it while we're eating.
Mm-mm.
Not the best choice, because it's kind of bloody.
This last episode, somebody tears themselves free from another person that they've been stitched to, and it is the bloodiest, nastiest thing I've seen on that show yet. And it's on NBC at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. So, highly recommended. Clone Wars.
The entire series is now up on Netflix.
So, this was never aired.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. All 6 seasons.
They just... Oh, okay.
Now, don't they, like, supposedly say they're finishing it?
This 6th season is only on Netflix.
Okay.
So, yeah, they... Ever since the Disney merger with LucasArts, or Lucas Properties, there was a lot of things that kind of fell by the wayside.
Right.
Like, one of the things was this
6th season.
Well, and this show, it was a great show. It's been highly rated. Everybody was a big fan of it. It actually took the kind of crappy execution for the movies
of the Clone Wars
and made it interesting.
Joshua was a big proponent. Is a big proponent. Our dear colleague.
Who?
Our famous jet-setting colleague out in California.
We had somebody else on the show?
I don't remember.
I thought Jeff was always a part of the show.
There's a bunch of cats in the room. It's so weird. I hear a bunch of hissing. And
He really liked the show and kept saying great things. And I love Star Wars. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I need to watch it. But I think I was so turned off initially because the Tartakovsky, or I never say his name right, but you know what I'm talking about, Gendy, the guy who did Samurai Jack and all that.
Yeah.
Like, I loved his Clone Wars so much that when they announced the new one, it was CG. I was like, but I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah,
I really like Clone Wars. It's fun. It's episodic enough where sometimes you could just jump right in.
Yep.
But there's an overall story arc. And
they brought fucking, what's his name back? Darth Maul. Come on.
They brought his brother back.
Yeah.
Oh, his brother in.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so
they've...
Netflix scores another win. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm watching... actually, I just watched Girls Will Be Girls on there. Which, have anybody else seen this?
Seen it yet.
You know of it, though, right?
Yeah.
In fact, they just announced the director is doing that Space Station 76 that Geeks Out shared.
And I shared, too.
I thought that was you. So, Girls with Girls was awesome. So, I'm watching that on Netflix, but I need to get to that. And I still haven't finished, like, Orange is the New Black, and I still watch House of Cards.
I know, right?
There's all this good stuff on Netflix. Anyway, we're not sponsored by Netflix yet. Should reach out to them.
A lot of people are. It seems pretty easy to get a free month with us.
Speaking of which, I watched 4 episodes of House of Cards.
Season 1 or 2?
Season 2.
Okay.
And I waited a week. I was surprised. Nothing got spoiled for me. And then...
The first 4 episodes of the season?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I watched it pretty much in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
And then I watched the next 9 right before my birthday weekend started.
Oh, wow.
And I had slept 4 hours. I'm like, should I take a nap or should I just... I'm just going to keep watching House of Cards. It was great. Things happen. Gay things happen.
Don't say too much.
All I'm saying is I wasn't worried that it wasn't going to be good. Mm-hmm. I was worried that it wasn't going to be as addicting, which is some of the best. Like, that's what really works for Netflix, because once it hooks you, you can binge watch, and that fervor that you get from it only increases as each episode. Like, it's like, oh, it's the automatic countdown. Well, I'm not going to stop it. It's already going to play for me. And it didn't disappoint at all.
Well, it's so true, because I've been watching. I'm doing very slow. I'm only on season one, and I'm about to hit episode 5. And I'm watching it, and I watched, I think it was episode 3 last night. It was really good. I was like, oh, that was great. So then I watched episode 4, and now it's 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, I want to watch episode 5, but I got to go to bed. But it is. It's just like what I was saying. It hooks, and I wanted to keep going, but I was like, I would have never slept. Yeah. I would have just got to go, I watched the whole thing.
I am so glad we live in an age where episodic, not done in ones, but like longer arcs, storytelling is alive and thriving in these kind of situations, because, you know, years ago that was sort of a thing, you know, they had it, but a lot of people are like, no, you need done in ones because you can jump on at any point. You don't have to be invested from the beginning. And they didn't have DVRs then. They didn't have Netflix then. So now that we have these tools, these great long-term storytelling can stay, you know, in the, you know, stay viable and not be replaced by crappy reality shows.
There's a I heard a thing on NPR recently about how this model of shows, how it's more of a commonplace, like a British model, where now you have networks that are signing shows on not based on a pilot but based on a whole set of episodes. Yeah, yeah. It's actually changing pilot season.
Oh,
and
good.
Writers, actually, it's bad because writers are getting screwed. Because writers, apparently, for pilot season, used to make like 150% more on a pilot episode that got bought than just a regular season episode.
I believe that. Oh,
so now networks are screwing the writers out of their big bumps that they would count on for pilot season, because they're not picking up a pilot. They don't think they should pay any more for a pilot.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to want a whole 6 episodes or a whole 7 episodes and then decide.
Yeah, there's, if you're interested in like the behind the scenes of television stuff, the Nerdist Writers Panel consistently has great inside television information. I had
now,
no
who
idea
is this?
About this.
Some other podcasts on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, another podcast. No, it's actually the new writers of Thunderbolts, Acker and Blacker. I forgot their first names, but basically these two guys that do Thrilling Adventure Hour, they do this Nerdist Writers Panel, but they interview predominantly but not exclusively television and comic book writers.
Oh, cool.
And it's all about the craft of writing these kind of things, but they get into pilot season, staffing season, all of this good stuff. So if you are at all interested in this, you should check that out. Now, I do want to go on because I want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm still the only one watching this, right?
Yep. Pretty much.
At least here in this room. I will say they continue to give us answers. And they continue.
Oh, it's still getting better, people. It's still getting better.
It really,
incrementally better. It's slowly climbing the ladder.
I will put this out there. If you are at all, like, you gave up on it at the beginning, but you go, well, you know, I should just check it out. If you go back and watch from the mid-season break, there's one episode before the break. If you watch that through, like, 3 or 4 episodes now, I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Well,
because
now they were in Sif. They have Deathlok.
Well, those are one-offs. Deathlok's an ongoing thing, but
Bill,
like,
Paxton.
Bill Paxton was whatever. But, I mean, there's an arc.
Bill Paxton.
It's not the done in one. The Marvel continuity that a lot of us really wanted is sleeping in. It's slow, but it's coming there. And the characters are, like, on fire. They're, like, running. They're not spending all this time introducing themselves, building up the basic, you know, parts of the show. You go back, and I'm telling you, this is a common defense, but it's true. A lot of shows, when they start out, they do all that heavy lifting of establishing who they are. And the show doesn't really take off until however long in. I mean, now you see, like, Netflix shows we just talked about. Some of them start hit the ground running, and those are going to hook you.
Right.
So they're not doing that, obviously. They didn't do a good job with that.
Obviously.
But if you jump in now, there's enough that they give you. You can get in. You figure out what's going on. Coulson alone, like, the changes they've made to his character after he's found out what happened to him.
What happened to him?
Well, he was brought back from the dead.
Right.
And this last episode, hey, we did say we'd spoil. I'm going to spoil.
Where's Tahiti?
Tahiti is a facility, and it's like a buried somewhere in a mountain. And there is a blue giant, or he looks giant, in a, like, vat. and they are pumping him from his body, like his corpse, and they're taking this like blue goo coming out of him, and that's what heals what's her name, Sky, one of the new characters, wounds, because she's dying, and they give her that.
She's still alive?
She's still alive. Damn. And, and they, Coulson, Project Tahiti is this whole thing, and that was what they brought used to bring him back. So now the theories online are, the blue guy is, it could be a, what's his name, what's the alien race from the Avengers movie, the...
Chitauri?
It could be a Chitauri, they haven't said. It could be an ice giant.
A frost giant?
Frost giant, thank you. Or, this is my favorite theory.
Celestial?
It's, nope, Captain Marvel, but the ultimate version. So it's some kind of a Kree, and they're using this to set up either, and again, Agent Coulson gets a lot of these theories, because we thought he was Vision for a while. Now people are saying he might be actually the Captain Marvel of this Marvel thing.
Just
probably
face
not.
It, he's not.
Probably not.
He's not going to be anything but Agent Coulson.
You know who he is? A lame plot device that they shoehorned in a few years ago.
And now he made his way into comic books.
He did.
Cheese.
Although,
he made his way in under the name Cheese.
I love him. I loved him in the, what was the show he was in before that?
Oh, Christine.
Yeah, I love
him. Oh, the actor.
Yeah.
Clark Gregg is great.
Yeah, and he's a big fan of like comics, and he's a big fan of stuff. I mean, I don't know. He's good. But anyway, I'm telling you, the show's getting better. Those of you naysayers out there, just try it again. I think you'll enjoy what you find.
I think it has to be the Mojoverse. I have to have my eyes wide open.
Yeah, they do something crazy like that. They throw
then I'd watch it.
They throw long shot in the show. Hey, you got me as a fan.
They did that. Oh, my God. Mutant fans would go crazy. Now, I do want to talk about Cosmos, and then we'll get out of this television thing.
I haven't watched it yet.
Are you all fans of the original Carl Sagan series?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking, because some people, they haven't seen it. You don't have to be, but if you are, there are moments of the new series, at least that first episode, that borderline on bringing you to tears, because they do such a nice job of passing the torch. I mean, it's a very personal journey in the Cosmos, and I think they call it something like personal journey through space and time, whatever. But that Neil deGrasse Tyson met with Carl Sagan when he was like a teenager, and is the inspiration of why he, you know, is continuing on and does what he does now. They talk about that. Neil talks about, you know, Carl had me come up to Ithaca, and he showed me his, you know, or Cornell rather, showed me his lab. You know, it was really nice. All this stuff, it's really cool. The production values are amazing. Like, they have really good budget for CG. They got Alan Silvestri doing the soundtracks. It sounds like a movie.
They got Seth MacFarlane
doing something.
Apparently he's a big geek.
We talked about this. He's a big geek, and he's a big fan of this kind of stuff. But no, it's great. And you can show this to kids, and you can show this to adults. It does a good job of doing a little bit of everything to really attract the audience into what, for some people, really turns them off, which is sort of science-y, space-time, travel, you know, borderline on science fiction, because there's like a fake starship and all that, but no. It's fantastic, and it's airing right now on Fox. And,
it's like a few channels.
Well, the first episode was. I don't know if they're doing that going forward. They even have an app, which I downloaded today.
Oh, really?
Where you can look at the cosmic calendar on there and look at the episode clips. It's cool.
Yeah,
so
it's
very happy.
I was pleased because I turned on Hulu. Cosmos is up on Hulu the next day.
Okay,
because
yeah.
They pulled it from Netflix. I had it on my queue forever ago. I would watch it and fall asleep, which is what
The original. I don't know. The new
the original.
One. No,
they have the new one?
The new one nice. Is up on Hulu.
I think the original they put back up there, too. Because I still have my series, my copy somewhere.
That was the funniest thing when we were kids, just to give a little flashback. This is the only series that my brother would rent multiple times, the whole series on VHS from Blockbuster. He would watch it, and then a year would go by, then he'd rent the entire series again, volume by volume.
I probably went through the show in high school maybe 3 or 4 times on tape. This is back in the VHS era. And then it was on something, or I did order a DVD copy eventually, but anyway, I've watched it many times.
I was the same way with Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, don't tell Melody that. She will talk your ear off.
I love Anne.
Did you ever see
the
bad sequel?
Anne of Avonlea?
Yep.
Yep.
I had to download both of those for her, just so she could reminisce.
But you know what? I'd still watch Anne of Avonlea. I watched all of it. I miss Avonlea, by the way. And if you ever want to get a gift from me, if Avonlea shows up somewhere.
I have a copy of it I can give to you.
What? No, not just Anne of Avonlea.
Oh.
But just Avonlea.
Like the place?
Yeah, like the series, the series that was on Disney.
Oh, okay, okay.
If they, if they ever, if it ever shows up, no.
Can you buy me a city?
I want to be mayor of Avonlea. Make it happen.
Oh God, I love Avonlea with Gus Pike. Ugh.
So,
he's got the vapors.
I'm not. I know of Anna Green Gables. I don't know anything else. Let's talk about gay news. There has been some rather interesting developments. Of course, we had the Sochi Olympics kind of fade away, and now that's not a big deal. Although Russia's still a bunch of idiots and dicks. But hey, now the rest of the world thinks so, because they basically want to invade Ukraine. But that's another show.
At the store, we do trivia every Tuesday from like 7 to 9. And it wasn't this past week, but the week before last, I was doing some stuff in the office, and every, you know, trivia names, like groups have names, and it's, you know, you fun and you find a pun. Mm-hmm. This one group came up with Crimea River, Russia.
Aww.
I was just like, oh my God.
That's adorable.
That's Crimea River, Russia.
That's pretty awesome.
Awesome.
But yes.
So, the new, or well, sort of around the same time of all this, we had our friends in Arizona.
You call them friends.
Really?
I call
That's
them,
so nice of you.
Well, we have friends in Arizona.
Yeah, they're residents. Well. They're not on the political party
so
at all.
So our friends, unfortunately, had to deal with this stupid law. Well, actually, thankfully, they didn't have to deal with it because it never got into actual law because the governor ultimately vetoed it, thankfully.
Yeah.
But basically, it said that any business can deny any patrons or people they want if they don't agree with their lifestyle. Based on their religious beliefs. Now, I'm of two minds to this. I'll actually come out and be maybe the dissenter here.
Oh, here
we
go.
I think this law is fine, and here's why. I think that a business owner, if for some reason they don't want to have someone that just, you know, goes against their religion, that's kind of like, well, all right, they don't have to make money off these people. They don't have to do a wedding cake for a gay couple. They can just say no, and the gay couple should go somewhere else. Now, admittedly, this smacks of discrimination. I mean, it is discrimination, right?
It doesn't smack.
It's pretty much
it's
what it is.
It's in the fires of discrimination.
But in an ideal world, and I'm speaking from a few friends of mine who are a little more conservative, they have this, you know, out there, they could just go down the street, presumably, to a business owner that will take their business. And if we believe capitalism really works, those business owners that are more inclusive of gays or whoever will do better and make more money than the bigoted, discriminatory business owners who turn them down.
But
so,
is it me? Shouldn't just anybody be able to go anywhere and get what they need?
Oh, sure.
And not anybody bat an eyelash of who you are, what color, what sex.
We're in a capitalist.
Like, what is me sucking my husband's dick? It doesn't happen. But when I did suck my husband's dick, what does that mean going into a deli and ordering a sandwich?
It shouldn't matter. What I'm saying is, even if it doesn't matter to us, if an idiot wants to be stupid enough to turn down business, which business owners are about doing what? Business. They should be stupid, not make the money, and go out of business because they're stupid enough to turn down business. Like, it will, if we believe in capitalism and the free market and all this stuff, it should regulate itself, and these idiots will not do well.
But there's
and then they'll be out of business.
This sets a very dangerous legal precedent, Brian.
It's okay.
Yeah, there's just such a large community out there that is against it that will rally against them and support them and make them grow even bigger. So now it's like doing that whole thing.
And my two counterpoints
black girl.
To that is that
get up on the pulpit. Say a few words.
And I didn't want to have to, but as someone whose family and other, you know, people of my community, black, and me having living relatives who have been affected by Jim Crow laws, it's absolutely abhorrent and disgusting. One. Two, we live in a country where you have freedom of religion, which means that you are, in any way, shape, or form, able to practice your religion as long as it does not harm or hinder another person.
Amen.
In this country, you do not have the right to say, I am turning away you for my religious beliefs.
You can't impose that on
exactly.
anybody else. That's
because,
your own choice.
Because the way I've always viewed it is, I was raised Baptist. When you move to the South, you're Southern Baptist. That's just
Sir.
That's just the way it is. And in my youth, and from my family's point of view, Baptists were just the way it was. Other denominations weren't exactly the same. And if you were, you know, of a Hindu faith, if you were Islamic, you were going to hell. Your religion was wrong, and you need to be converted. Okay. Now, that to me doesn't make sense, because if you're raised and steeped in this tradition
of love and acceptance.
Exactly. And you know, like, you know, I am Baptist, and therefore I'm not supposed to deal with the iconist, like, Catholics. That doesn't make sense. Like, they were raised in a similar fashion of me. My religion isn't wrong, just the way your religion isn't wrong. It's to each their own.
Right.
Having said that, you don't get to say then that all Catholics never get to walk into my health clinic, a privately owned health clinic, when I'm, you know, like, you see someone who's in need of assistance, who's in need of a service. You don't get to say, you know what, I don't like the way you pray, or the lack thereof, and therefore I need you to vacate my premises. Mm-hmm. You don't get to do that. There are laws in America for a reason. Mm-hmm. For this. It's disgusting.
So let me throw this out there. And again, I am of mixed opinion on this. I'm doing this in part to get us debating. But I am interested in having this debate because...
Clever girl.
There was a scenario put out there that made me really start to think about this. If you were a business owner that made... Not wedding cakes, because that's the common one. I don't know.
This actually came up. I talked about this in an insurance class.
Oh, did you really?
In Portland, there was a bakery that turned away a lesbian couple.
Well, I want to go... So replace lesbianism and gay... Let's... Something else. And I'm not comparing this, but I'm saying it's another useful example to discuss this as a general thing.
Right.
They were, you know, the KKK. Or some group
neo-Nazi walked in with a swastika on their arm
for whatever reason. I'm not saying what they feel is good or bad, but it's just something you fundamentally are disgusted by, disagree with.
Right?
Do you, as a business owner, have the right to say, "I will not make a cake or a floral arrangement for you for this"? And you know, Nazi, whatever the hell, or KKK, whatever. I mean, is that similar? Not that they. Lesbians and you know, KKK are similar, but that you have such disgust for a group that you as a business owner can say, "No, I really won't make this for you." I'm not talking as much about clinics and so like service-based things, but like I'm going to build a product for you. You're going to commission me to make you a thing. Where do business owners have the right as private business owners to say, I'm not going to do that? Like, to say no.
As a private business owner, they have the right to just turn around, "I'm sorry, my schedule conflicts with this, I can't do it." Not make a fucking law about it.
Yeah, you, like, here's the thing.
You know, you just blow it
off.
You
reserve the right to say no. Everybody can say
but
no.
But you just don't say why.
Right.
The problem. If you get the wrong customer, they'll challenge you, they'll want to know the reason, and then they'll make a stink about it if they're not pleased with your reason.
Exactly. But the thing is, you have the right to say no, you don't have the right to legislate discrimination. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. You can't say that I want to only talk to people with brown eyes because my religion tells me that everyone with blue eyes
are
blue-eyed devils.
They are. That's legitimate. They have no souls.
You know, like, as the Book of Mormon says, you know, what's one of your favorite songs? I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time when the Mormon faith had awful, awful things to say about black people.
What was the guy changed his mind about black people?
Yes. And their religion would dictate if I walked into a store or, you know, some place like a car dealership and it's the only car dealership in town and I desperately need a car. And they're like, "I'm sorry, I am not going to sell you this automobile that you may be able to pay for outright in cash because you're a descendant of something evil." Like, that's ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
It's ridiculous.
My thinking was, it is evil, it is ridiculous. These owners should be able to cull themselves out of the marketplace by being stupid. But, like Eric says, there are a lot of stupid people out there who would potentially back these people. I mean, this law got a lot of press on both sides and support. I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes we have social circles or situations where we kind of, it's like an echo chamber. We hear our own opinions kind of echoed back. But I'm grateful, and I think we all probably have our friends who are dissenting of those opinions or a little more conservative or whatever. They don't necessarily agree with everything. So we get that perspective. And, like, that's why I was even starting to think, well, not that I, again, I would, I don't want this law either. But, like, you know, is it, is there a case or is there a way that you could say business owners can say no to something? To have at least their own, you know, ability to not, like, they don't want their name on something. They don't want to endorse something, right, so to speak. Now, I agree, I think, with Oral that it should just be understood that business owners can say no. And then, like you said, Jeff, if they're challenged on it, well, that's a whole other story. But,
well, and honestly,
it doesn't need to be legislated.
If we live in a true capitalist market, the way you vote is you vote with your wallet. Mm-hmm. If you have a business that you go to and then they turn you down, it's... It's the simple...
Chick-fil-A.
Jared just said Chick-fil-A. It's true. Yep. It's, if you want to show your disdain of their rules, go somewhere else. That's, don't give them your business. Yeah. If enough people do that, they'll get the message.
Well, and I was very grateful that there was such a... There, what was funny about the Arizona thing is there's so much support or so much business owners themselves who said no to this law because they had such pushback. They had such fear of a stigma of discrimination that they stood up and said, fuck no. We don't want to, A, we don't want to lose a Super Bowl, but B, we don't want to look stupid.
And too little, too late.
Very happy to hear that these business owners saw through all this and said, you know what, no, this is dumb. We don't even need this. Like, they didn't even want, that is the one thing I will go back to. They didn't even want this. This law came from out of right field, not left field, right field. The business owners themselves
nicely
had
done.
Nothing,
nicely done.
Nothing to do with this.
Well, so, the whole interview with Anderson Cooper was, just the way he just tortured this guy, who's an idiot. Utter idiot. Like, me and Jose are watching, we're like just dumbfounded, the shit that was coming out of this man's mouth. Trying to defend crap.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, again, you want an idiot to kind of ruin their reputation and show how stupid their message is? Give them a soapbox. Give them a mic. Yep. Let them have at it.
Yeah. Let them Anderson Cooper, come on in an interview.
Anderson, you're so dreamy.
Give them just enough rope to hang themselves.
So that was pretty big. The other thing, I think, was it Utah that passed gay marriage? But then it was the challenge. Oh, in Texas. That was also since our last... So these
well, you know, only two things. Only two things come out
girl.
Of... only two things come out of Texas.
Steers and queers?
That's right. I don't see horns on you, boy. No?
I can marry.
He really says that very well. So, anyway. Good debate. I want to talk about video games.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It was because I am very excited about both of these. One is not out yet, so the Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight.
And it's the original people who made Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Yeah.
Wait. Origins was like that other company that
was
they hired?
That was WB Montreal. It was like a side company, which is why it looked exactly like Arkham City.
I see.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
I know it's not on the docket, but Dark Souls 2 comes out in 3 hours.
Jared's a masochist.
Are you going to GameStop right after this?
Oh, I don't own a PS3. Oh. But,
you know, I could get you a Cat of Nine Tails, and you could just flog yourself and get the same experience as playing Dark Souls 2.
I played Dark Souls 1. I know what I'm getting into.
just torturing yourself.
The other exciting news for me, and I didn't even realize this was coming out, the South Park game.
Came out last Tuesday.
Oh, finally came out.
Blast.
I've heard so fun. I played it for like 4 hours today.
So you have it.
Yep.
So I can borrow it when you're done.
Yes.
Okay, good. Woohoo!
Is this PS3?
I was going to get on 360, but they didn't have any copies. They were sold out, so I got a PS3.
Yeah.
It's current gen, so you don't have to worry about getting on like the new systems.
Honestly,
it's now.
It's the graphics are good, right?
But it's a South Park episode.
South Park episode.
It's a South Park episode.
And all of the production company that makes South Park, the writers, the voice actors, everything, is all brought to bear in this game. So I mean, it is so many references. One of those terrible ports that people do. This is Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They wrote it.
Is Megan Streisand in it?
They've already mentioned her once. I'm one of the beginning parts of the game. Yes. They've already mentioned her
once.
I mean, I think there's a picture in one of the previews of the corpse of Chef. Like,
yeah, you fight the zombie chef.
Everything they've referenced in this game.
I've already rescued the city walk from the Mongolians because they took it back over and they were having to serve Mongolian everything. Oh, so I had to go to the palace, the Tower of Peace, and then chase out all the Mongolians. It was great. It's a great episode. And the jokes they make, because the RPG elements of it, it's done by Obsidian, who did Fallout New Vegas,
okay.
who did wow. Knights of the Old Republic 2,
oh.
who did, they did their own IP recently, I forget what it was called, it didn't sell that well, but they've done a lot of licensed IPs, they know what they're doing for RPGs,
yeah.
and they actually have a mechanic very similar to like the Paper Mario games.
Okay.
Where
yeah,
you can do
very 2D sort of,
and you can do like the attack, space, and then timing, button timing. You can do a little extra bonus damage, and
that's cute.
The classes you can be a warrior, a mage, a thief, or a Jew.
That's awesome.
And then as soon as you pick Jew, Cartman says, "Well, I guess we can't be friends."
Aww.
That's great.
So another game that is exciting that it's coming out, and I've heard. Very limited because it hasn't come out yet, but the pre-release stuff sounds good. Dragon Age. They're doing another Dragon Age, which...
Right, Inquisition.
Which, supposedly, they learned their lesson after, or was it the second one?
Yeah.
And it's this one that's going to be better.
Well, the second one was just so damn linear.
Yeah.
Nothing... You couldn't do anything. It was, you're following this guy's story, and that's it. And you had Dragon Age before that, which was open. You could pick whatever character you wanted. You could do what you wanted.
So I have to tell you, I did not realize that BioShock Infinite's download content, Burial at Sea, came out.
Both episodes.
Oh, the second one came out?
I think so.
I know the first one's out, and it came out actually about like in October, November. I didn't even realize it had been that long. But I got that, and I don't think the second one's out yet. But
say Irrational's pretty much done. So.
Well, yeah, that's sad. We're all sad to see them go, but it sounds like they had a bit of a mess at the end. The graphics are gorgeous. And if you like the first game, like the BioShock itself... They go back to that world, but it's not. It's the world prior to the events of BioShock, so it still looks gorgeous.
It's people the world of Rapture around, up and running and actual function,
and it's shiny and pretty. And so far, the story is nothing too amazing, but it's got a Booker, and it's a different Booker. It's basically the Booker in Rapture, and it's got Elizabeth as some we don't know what her deal is, but she hires Booker to find one of the little sisters that they know or. Have a connection to. So it's really pretty. If you're a fan of BioShock Infinite or the first BioShock, you should check it out.
Elder Scrolls Online is coming.
Ooh. It is.
It looks gorgeous.
Really?
I read an article of somebody who played the beta, and while it's still glitchy, it doesn't come out for a couple of weeks, so they're going to be working on that.
In this day and age, it can come out glitchy. They'll patch the hell out of it.
Exactly.
What MMO has not come out a little glitchy?
Exactly. But... it's set like almost 1,000 years in the past from Skyrim.
Oh, they did the Knights of the Old Republic method.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go far enough back where that nothing we do matters, and except we can reference stuff that happens later on.
Exactly. There are factions to choose from, and your class you only get to do 4 in the beginning, but it branches out. Your skill tree branches out from there, and you can tweak things here or there. It looks amazing. I don't have anything to play it on. Anything good enough to play it on. 2, I'm really glad about that because it'll eat my soul.
Yeah.
It'll MMOs, eat my soul.
I don't know. Can't
it's,
do another one.
MMOs, it's hard. You either get in on the ground floor and you're like that guy who's by the time everybody else is jumping on board, you're like level 50 and holy shit amazing on your 8th character.
Yeah.
Or you jump in a few years in and you have more options and the path is more fun because they've tweaked things in some of the quests and it's not
not as long and drawn out. So you have advantages to waiting or not waiting.
I have never played an Elder Scrolls game. I've considered buying Skyrim a few times just because I want to do the mod with Macho Man Randy Savage as the dragons. That just still amuses the hell out of me. I don't know. But I've heard Final Fantasy 14 since they relaunched it is really good.
Was it A Realm Reborn or something like that?
Our friend Eric, he gave up WoW, and he was a pretty diehard WoW player, and he's playing that now, and he really likes it.
Closest I'll ever get to WoW is Hearthstone, that card game that they have for free. That's fun.
It's good.
It's fun. It's a fun card game.
Final Fantasy card games, or is it more like Magic?
It's like Magic, but it's with World of Warcraft characters. So it's as close as I ever get.
I am playing Rocksmith now, by the way, as well. I bought that and plugged my bass in. I'm learning the bass, playing Rocksmith.
Did you say you're slapping the bass?
Sometimes.
Slap out
the
bass.
Sometimes I finger the bass.
Eric got it.
Other times I slap it. I'm always good, though. I'm gentle. Yeah, it's good. All right, let's move on. Comics. I got nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
We
got a lot of books stacked in front of us here. I pulled a bunch from my little boxes because usually people are like, oh, I want to read that. I read that. Has happened a few times. I don't know where to start except DC. Some big news, I guess.
Yes, Azzarello.
The golden era is coming to an end.
Yes. They finally chased him off Wonder Woman?
Yes. Well, I mean, he's been doing since issue one, all the way through this whole story arc with the gods and Wonder Woman versus the gods. And now the war is going to happen, the battle, and then he leaves after he's done with
it. So he's leaving, but it's not for like months and months.
It's a couple of months.
It's like Bendis is leaving, 2 years later. Oh, he's finally left.
I'm wrapping it up. Right. I'm wrapping it up.
Well, the thing is, like, the first person they have is friggin' David Finch on art for her. So now she went being an Amazon to a supermodel, and that pissed me off right off the get-go. Oh. Because I love his artwork, but not Wonder Woman.
Though?
Huh?
Who's the new writer, though?
We don't know. My hopes is Charles Soule just is leaving Thunderbolts, that maybe he'll pick up Wonder Woman.
I mean, you need somebody. Well, I don't know, because like the logic is, you need something completely different.
They want somebody. They want to groom her in what she's going to be in the movie, and that's what scares me.
Well, the picture came out. I think
I know. The picture. The picture looked great, but
it's very
still,
Amazonian.
I don't know what the cat, what she's going to be like.
Oh yeah.
Is she going to be just like, hi Clark, blink blink blink, or is she going to be an Amazon kicking ass?
I think she'll be kicking ass. I don't think you can go back to a sort of a, like you said, oh hi. I just don't see that happening for Wonder Woman.
Well,
like Phil Jimenez posted that Wonder Woman volunteers to be the secretary of the Justice Society.
I would hope that the next writer takes what Azzarello did and just, you know, builds on it, but maybe changes it a little bit, goes in a little different direction, just because, again, you don't want to ape badly what you know.
No, and that's not what we're afraid of. What we're afraid of is that we're going to slide back into the Wonder Woman that only gay men read.
Right. And you know, right now we have straight guys. We have everybody of all walks of life reading Wonder Woman.
And I think DC has to recognize that that's what works.
Oh, there was your first mistake.
Wait, DC has to
recognize.
DC has to do what?
DC has to recognize it's not Linda Carter.
You're right. What am I thinking?
Wonder Woman!
So what else is DC fucking up? Let's see. Forever Evil came out, and
Six was fun.
It was interesting. It was
beautiful.
Dick Grayson, his final fate. It's not revealed really, but we did find out who's in the hooded mask.
Yes, that was kind of
Alexander Luthor.
Well, we kind of suspicious that it was him, but what happened to him? I mean, it only made sense that it was Alexander Luthor.
I guess it does, but I didn't have a good theory. I was like, it could be anybody.
Did you see the movie? Because he was the prominent one in the movie, in the animated movie.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Crisis on Two Earths. Hello!
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So he's always that prominent one, and every time they have him.
But the new thing, like you're saying, is by making him the crime syndicate's Shazam, basically. Or was it Mazaz? Mazaz?
Reverse
Shazam. That was cool. You know.
That was cool, but he was like, he'll steal your powers.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you know, Aaron, my boss, our boss, I asked him what he thought about it. He's like, what he likes is that Earth 3 isn't evil, it's just opposite.
Uh-huh.
And Lex, like, Lex Luthor in our world wants to be the height of humanity. That's why he hates superheroes. That's why he hates Superman, because he wants humanity to achieve, specifically him, everything that it can,
right,
under their own power. And Lex Luthor, Alexander Luthor, on Earth 3, wants to be the height of every hero, and he'll take whatever he needs to get it.
Gotcha. That's interesting, and probably true. Aaron's usually pretty good. Got a good instinct for these things.
Yeah, because he usually talks to writers. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they're like, oh, this is what's going on. He pretends he came up with it.
Yeah. So, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know. It does explain when you said that, and that's certainly been known, but it explains why he and Batman get along pretty well.
I was
going
to say, wouldn't he be like Batman's biggest fan then?
Well, and that's the new Justice League is going to have them kind of, you know, either butting heads or.
Well, I like the fact the way he was like chapping his ass at the whole issue. He was just getting under Batman's skin.
He's
jealous.
It's implied he basically stopped Dick Grayson's heart, too.
Hmm. Well, he killed Dick Grayson, but then at the very last thing, he was like, wait.
Yeah.
You know, I know. And then Batman hit him, and then an end scene, and it was just like, oh, okay.
Basically, he's in a murder machine, which is an old Kirby conceit, I think, from the New Gods stuff. And it's a, you gotta die. If you don't die, the bomb's gonna go off and kill you anyway.
Right.
But the only way it's wired up to your heart, or it's wired up. So basically, the only way to get him out is to kill him or
and then
stop his heart.
And then revive him?
Right, and revive him. So that's probably what's gonna happen. I don't think they're gonna kill him. Now, Superman Batman Annual, I think number two,
that
second one.
That was the first one.
Was it the first one? Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember. Because that's right, because it's only an issue like six or seven in the series.
Eight. Issue 8.
I really liked it, and I have not been keeping up with the issues. But yeah, no, it's a fun little, like, they got the Superman family, and they got the Batman family.
Great. You're part of Team Batman.
And they basically go up against the Mongol's son.
Hmm. The annual was better than the actual issues for me.
Yeah, yeah. I started strong, I think, early on with the Jay Lee stuff. Was really
No. That stuff is fine. I'm saying the second story arc,
I
didn't particularly care for.
In the annual, there were three artists. Jay Lee did the first third, and then Rocafort did the second third. I think Billy Tan did the last third or something. So yeah, it did change.
When it turned really pretty is when I was just like, I got turned off. I didn't read the second story arc, but Jay Lee's back and I'm right back on.
Yeah,
it.
No, I actually need to get that too. So then Action Comics.
I'm loving it.
This I realize I'm
really
missing an
good.
Issue. But this
was it Cooter? I love
the
art.
Eric Cooter and written by Greg Pak, which first of all, if you don't know Greg Pak's stuff,
still killing it.
Oh, my God.
Still killing it.
He's
December
doing
DC.
Great with Superman.
But he has to be credited. I was recently on another show, The Comic Book Bears, and we had a gentleman, James Figueiredo from Bear Nerd out of Brazil. And they actually had interviewed Greg Pak specifically because of the, what was the book that was like an alternate sort of universe-hopping X-Men?
Oh, Exiles.
They had the gay, after that. I think the gay Wolverine.
It's Extreme X-Men.
Extreme X-Men. They had the gay Wolverine, and they interviewed him specifically because of the gay Wolverine having sex with the gay Hercules. And
James Hallett, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the Greg Pak, that fan of our community, I think, both gay and bears, evidently. And not only is he good at writing in good gay scenes, but he's good at writing Superman.
He's doing great job. I love the way he breathes life into Superman after the shit with Lobdell. Oh, my God. Kill me now.
You know who one of his
and
great
crazy
writing?
Grant Morrison. Woo!
I like the Morrison stuff.
Everyone of Dimension.
The Lobdell sucked.
One of Greg Pak's great writing kind of cohorts was Fred Van Lente.
Yeah.
They always did great stuff together. I know that. What is Fred doing anyway?
He's actually a Valiant writer. He's doing Archer and Armstrong and I think another book, too. But and I think they're doing a follow-up to comic book history.
If he ever got over with Greg Pak again, that would be
writing
magic.
So this book, if you're not reading it, it's got Superman and Lana Lang. Which
yeah, I like this.
She's
finally.
A very, she's an engineer, which is cool. She holds her own. And because she knows, you know, she's known about Clark's powers for years, they have a really intimate, but not sexual, but just intimate relationship. Like, they know each other very well. So it's really cool. And there's a new story arc starting where there's some, and this is the only thing about DC, they kind of take one idea and they like put it across all the books. There's yet another secret government agency that looks like it's out to stop Superman.
Another one?
And,
oh, that's right. Yeah, at the end of that
and
one.
We've had like, well, we got the one that Trevor's doing.
Well, I'd be okay if it tied to Amanda Waller somehow. Then yeah, I'd be with her group. So but I know it doesn't. But I would say
there's the one in Superman Unbound, led by the Colonel Lane. I mean, it's like, come on. No, so but it is really good otherwise. Now, the only other book I want to mention, DC, unless you guys have anything, is Batman. Specifically because this whole Batman Year Zero thing, they took a break. They jumped ahead into Batman Eternal, which is the upcoming like weekly book they're doing. And it basically is a future that, well, Batman has women companions now.
Yep. Mm.
He's got Harper Row as Bluebird.
What's her name? Mm-hmm. Bluebird.
He's got some, they haven't shown her.
Oh, it's Carrie.
Yeah.
Or it's Carrie. Fucking it's Carrie.
Carrie Kelly in the Batcave.
I'm okay with that because that brings in the Batman Strikes Back. Or
but she should be a baby. He was 80. Yeah.
It's the new 52. No. Anyway, and then it's got Spoiler in a pivotal role. Plus, they've taken Catwoman out of the cat suit. And now she's a badass kingpin mafia leader.
She runs the underworld of Gotham, yeah, which I love.
So that's a lot to get to. Like that's if that's near or that's soon, there's a lot to get to that point.
You know what I loved is that someone had to remind me that Stephanie Brown was in it because everything else was so great. And I'm honestly, there are like 8 people in the world who are clamoring for Stephanie Brown. And they are the 8 loudest people in fandom.
Oh, you're damn right. They know they own the internet.
Yeah.
And I can't stand Stephanie Brown.
Why?
Why? Because she was an idiot. She jumped down in the middle of a mafia war going on there. She orchestrated that even Selena Kyle's like, oh, girl, I'm not going down there with you. Do you not remember that when she died?
No.
In the old, was that old 52? That was old 52.
Honestly, yeah. I don't. I know only little bits evidence of her stuff. I don't know all the. Okay.
I just. And they brought her I don't back. Care, but. Yeah. That issue of Batman is what Batman and Robin should be. Mm-hmm. That was a Batman and Robin issue.
Yes, yeah. It was.
Because that book has been terrible. And I can't remember who's writing it.
Tomasi.
I feel bad for Tomasi. So and very rarely do I ever feel bad for Tomasi.
All I know about Batman and now Two-Face is that they reintroduced Two-Face in the New 52 and he has some like deeper personal connection with Bruce. And he knows who he knows Bruce is Batman. And the last issue, he pulled a gun to his head and shot himself or something.
They like, masturbated.
That sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. So I've been following it.
Batman and Aquaman. Then it's Batman and Wonder Woman, well, where he's asking her help to find Damian. Something with Damian.
So I think they're going to go to Hades. Coming. According to Tomasi, there is a recent interview. There is a thing happening in the next few months where I don't know. He kind of teased it, and it. I mean, you think they would bring Damian back already?
You know what?
Well, I don't know. Selena turned around in the Eternal and said he's lost so much already. So I don't think.
I don't think so. I just really think that when DC allowed Grant Morrison to kill off Damian, they should have had a solid 3-4 months at the most plan, because they have dragged their readership through the dirt. Yeah. So many
Batman
people
and everybody but Robin.
So many people have dropped off this book.
Yeah.
So many people.
Which is a shame because I will tell you right now, the art by I forgot his name, Patrick Gleason, I think is actually some really good Batman art.
Doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. I dropped it and I was one of its biggest fans because I just don't care. I don't care. So,
well, and some people called that too. As soon as Damian died, I think even the iFanboy guys were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to go through however many X number of months of Bruce just being a miserable, grieving bastard.
And Snyder was smart because he basically said, all right, well, we're going to do Year Zero, so we don't have to worry about all
we're
going to
go back in time.
We're just going to go
back to happier days.
You know, Detective's been kind of all over the place, and then they killed that other book, Dark Knight, whatever.
Dark Knight is done.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, and then they relaunch with Batman Eternal, where all kinds of weird shit's going to happen. Anyway, so good Batman and bad Batman. That's all the DC stuff I really care about right now.
Animal Man's almost done.
Yeah, and he's going over to Canada for the Justice League Unlimited, Ununited.
Justice League United. Yeah. Swamp Thing is still fantastic.
Oh, good Charles. Good Charles.
Wonder Woman, The War of the Gods, War for
Superman,
Olympus.
Superman Wonder Woman
is really good. I'm interested in what they're doing with the whole Doomsday thing. I'm curious to see
what
they do.
That's the next chapter.
I just don't want to read the Loeb ones.
The Loeb or the Jurgens are the two things I could just leave.
I'll tolerate Jurgens because... he's done some stuff that I like. Plus
like
he's,
what?
He's old school. Oh, come on. Back in the early 90s, I like that.
He killed my man back in the 90s. Well, I hate him.
There were a lot of people wanting to kill him. You know, it wasn't even Juergen's idea. I forgot who. I read that. You know,
I don't care. The Glenn Weldon, out of his book.
The Glenn Weldon Superman biography. They talked about that era, and it was, and there was a reason they did it. Nah, God, yeah. I forgot.
And whoever would have been the one who killed him, I would have hated. And he was the one attached. He pulled the trigger.
Well, let's move on to some indie stuff, and then we'll do Marvel. We'll save Marvel for the end because I think Marvel right now is one of the best ones. I want to talk briefly. Anybody else read Starlight?
Nope. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
It's the first 5 minutes of Up meets The Incredibles meets Buck Rogers.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But those are all good things.
I didn't say they were bad things. The thing is that when will we see another issue? Well, God only knows. Jupiter's Legacy number 4 came out.
Now,
6 months later.
How much of that is the artist and how much is
Oh, better? No. It's him. Don't you dare.
Yeah, wait, no. What did you read the letter page. What did it say?
I'm writing this. For the letter page for Starlight, he's like, I'm writing this, you know, and sometimes like February. No, it was Jupiter's Legacy. Oh. I'm writing this the first work day of January. The first day I could ever work on January. This will come out to you sometime in February or later. That book came out October. Jupiter's Legacy number 3. And this is why I'm always disgusted with Mark Millar. And I'll say it again and again and again. He expects us as retailers to hype his books. Yeah. And they'll sell regardless because it's his. His name is on it. And I'm not saying they're not good. But where do you get off just not writing something?
Yep.
Just not. You get us hyped up.
You're not Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, no. You're not Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Even Kevin Smith couldn't get away with that shit.
Yeah. But the thing is, months will go by. Months will go by. And then he expects us to keep the hype up for, you know, Jupiter's Legacy number 4. The only reason why people still got that book is, one, it was still on their pull list. And two, in our store, they had prepaid for it already.
Oh, wow.
When it was supposed to come out. And we had to say, just been delayed.
See, I thought with Jupiter's Legacy, at least, it's Frank Quietly, who is notoriously slow, but it's worth the wait.
And they teamed him up with Millar.
Well, they did this before, and I think it was the Authority back after Warren Ellis did it, and they had production delays. But, yeah, I know. Well, I want War Heroes. Whatever happened to War Heroes? That's the one Millar book that he just dropped like a bad habit.
Remember the giant penis panel?
It was the superpowered soldiers in Iraq. Back when that was a little more relevant than it is now. And I enjoyed the first two issues.
Then
they never did anymore. Ever. Yeah, it was sad. So no, but anyway, Starlight's really good. It is exactly right. It's Up meets the Incredibles part, maybe a little bit.
Well, what are you talking about?
The Buck Rogers.
He's reliving his old life. He can no longer access it. And even if he does tell people, they're just like, they don't believe him.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me sort of like John Carter, if he didn't go back to Mars, and there were years where he didn't go back, and like Buck Rogers, if he just went back to Earth and, you know, and had led a normal life. Anyway, it's the story of what happens to this older father when his wife dies and the kids have grown up and left the house, and he's remembering all these, you know, wonderful
adventures. I read the back matter.
Yeah.
I read the back matter.
But I mean, for those of you who are interested, if you like Buck Rogers and if you think that's a good idea, I'll say right now, the old man stuff killed me because it made me kind of think, I haven't called my father in a while.
You should go down and see him.
I should. But no, it's well done. And Gordon Parlov, he did the Punisher, the Fury Max a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Art's gorgeous. It really, really is good. So, Veil, did you guys read Veil?
I read it. It was all right.
I don't know. Like, I just heard Rock on Warbloom. He didn't even mention this, I don't think. Like, it's so just like what I don't. This girl, they find her. She wakes up and she's amidst rats, and she talks in this weird rhymey thing that's kind of obnoxious after a while. But
almost like Etrigan.
Yes, but estrogen? Actually, you know estrogen. What she's more like? She's more like River from Firefly.
Oh,
so kind of crazy, and evidently has psychic powers that she can like mind control people. So. And the art, who's the fucking artist?
Tony
Figueroa. No.
You know, I like Fajul. The eyes, because when you look at the eyes, it's very Fajul. Mosaic.
Yes, actually, you're right. The style is kind of mosaic-y, sort of like pieced together. But anyway, it's the first issue. It did not grab me.
It's not Lazarus.
No, Lazarus.
And I would rather be reading Velvet than Bale.
Oh, Velvet's. Well, that's what's his name, isn't it? That's
Brubaker.
Not
Brubaker. Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Oh, you're saying Image One, yeah. So anyway, if you're interested in Ruckus stuff, and if you like sort of like, I don't know, magic realism or just some kind of weird sort of urban fantasy, it's worth checking out. That's all the indie books I think I certainly was paying attention to.
Eric, are there any other indie books that came out that we wanted to mention?
Why do I feel like that there is?
Revenger came out. That wasn't
actually,
my thing.
I didn't read it.
No, I will say, Black Science, love this Remender book.
Of course. I mean, a dark, fucked up version of Sliders.
Scalera art, too. Like,
who doesn't love Sliders?
I love Sliders. It is Sliders, but it's also like a little bit of Lost in Space, but really fucked up in that they're, you know, sort of a family, but not really, and they're a family plus co-workers, really. But it's giving Remender a chance to do just crazy shit like he did in that other book he did that was like a pulpy science fiction.
Fear Agent.
I mean, it's basically like he said it's like a spiritual successor to Fear Agent. But
that whole him trying to do Fear Agent and Punisher didn't work out so well.
Oh, The Wake came back.
We did not mention this. It's sort of indie because it's Wake Vertigo, so but not really. So The Wake, if you haven't been following this Scott Snyder book, they jump ahead basically because they kill everybody off in the other characters they were following. And the one thing that really impresses me is the color palette. I don't know if I mentioned this with, I think I mentioned this with Comic Bears. It's like very, like pastels. Like, Snyder has like a thing for his artists to use like pastels. Because Batman Year Zero, predominantly like a pastel sort of color palette, which is cool. Like, it's not what I would pick for the future, but yet it sort of seems to indicate that kind of vibe.
This is one I heard about. This is the one where like the first part of the story was all about how the world ended and all the people you're following.
Now we fast forward in the second chapter.
So it's like Waterworld.
Yeah.
It was all caused by these little evil mermaids. Basically.
Evil mermaids.
But I hate saying that. I try to
sell with a straight face.
Sirens.
I mean, they're
all of the mythical. They're an amalgam of those mythical creatures. Right. They are the root of where those stories come from.
And they look like from the trench in Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my God, that's exactly what they are.
Jeff Johns like, let me buy this.
But yeah, if you like post-apocalyptic stories, it's definitely right up your alley.
It's so good. I love it.
All right. Let's move on to Marvel because there's a lot of number ones. All new. All now.
Let's start with the worst.
Which one's the worst?
Fantastic.
You have it right
Four.
On the front.
So, it's funny you say that.
Who's writing that now?
It's Robinson with art by Leonard Kirk. And actually, I didn't like it either.
Which is sad because you know what? Oh, let's backtrack before we... Let's go back to DC for 1 second. Oh. Earth 2... Awesome.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's been great. It's been action-packed. People are dropping left and right.
Superman, man. Oh, my God.
I will say this. I love James Robinson. I mean, we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his Earth 2 was okay. Like, I was like, well, okay. I'm excited for what he's building to. But he never got there before he left. And then now this guy,
Tom Taylor.
Yeah, it's the character in Unwritten.
Layman. Yeah,
is writing it, and it is phenomenal. Like it's taking.
No,
all
it's Mike Carey.
Oh,
Mike Carey is Tom Taylor.
Right, right. Basically, Tom Taylor is the real person, but Mike Carey invented Tom. Anyway, long story. Tom Taylor has done a phenomenal job. He did a good job with the video game tie-in series. That's I think where Injustice. He really. Yeah, that was his thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Which also features an evil Superman, but
he can write a evil fucked up Superman.
My God.
It's good though.
He just asked Mark Waid for some notes from Irredeemable.
Oh yeah.
That's how you write a fucked up Superman.
So what don't you like about this Fantastic Four? Because I'm sort of the same way, but I don't know why.
Here's
my
the thing.
You start out
with Sue sometime in the future recounting to Valeria how everything went wrong.
Right.
And like why she left to be with Uncle Doom because, you know, Reed lied to her and kept secrets from her, like that they were dying. And I understand that, you know, you're wetting our whistles, wetting our appetite for what's coming. Like how do we get to this point?
Right.
Totally got it.
Yep.
And I understand that you want to show that you have a firm grasp of these characters, and you start out that book with a really big fight scene and them using all their powers and working as a team. But how do you, and I'm, you know, Fraction is hit or miss with his series, yeah. and his last series sucked.
Yeah.
The last iteration of Fantastic Four, coming off of Hickman's awesome run,
oh, yeah.
sucked.
Oh, especially. But FF was okay.
FF was fine. Mainly because of the art. But, yeah. But how do you really kick off a series that needs a shot in the arm? You bring in a really big villain, not Mole Man, Fin Fang Foom.
Who does? Yeah. Did he have pants?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Fin Fang Foom's got pants again.
It was, it was the throwaway villain.
Check if he had.
And pants. The actual threat comes later, but it was fucking Fin Fang Foom.
Best execution of Fin Fang Foom. Next Wave.
Yes.
No, Next Wave nailed it. He did have pants.
I have pants.
It
I
was.
Have a question. Fin Fang Foom's got pants. Go to prison.
It, no, that's in the future.
Coming. Oh, okay. Yeah, so this, basically, the thing's in prison. I don't know what they should happen to Reed.
Reed has lost his intelligence.
Yeah.
Or he's at the scientist version of writer's block.
Yeah. And Johnny has a burnt out, no pun intended, career. And is all washed up and drunk.
See, I mean, going back to the TV thing, Hannibal this season does a 12 weeks in the future thing at the beginning of the season. That's a great story convention if you can do it right.
Yeah.
So many people that might not have the strongest story do it as a crutch because they want to show, hey, this is what we're leading up to. This is why you should stick around.
It's putting the hook at the beginning of a song as opposed to later in.
But it's sometimes it's done because the person's storyline is that weak.
But see, and case in point, that's exactly what Fraction did in the beginning of his run.
Yep.
You see them out in space and all this cosmic radiation stuff is happening. And it's
Reed's got arm cancer. Reed's got arm cancer.
So, Magneto number one. All new. Marvel Now, what do we like? Do we think it's good? Cullen Bunn and Walter?
It's Magneto being Magneto.
Yeah.
He's just somebody said on a tyrant.
It's not so much he's an anti-hero, he's more of an anti-villain. Because an anti-hero kind of goes in and is like that, he'll do things heroes won't do. He does that too, but the way I like things, he's more like Dexter for anti-mutants. He's basically a serial killer. Killing people who hurt
people. He's going back to, like, if you had a little moment way back when.
Yeah, he's doing his homework.
He wrote that shit down. That made my ledger.
He just walked in and tore his fillings right out of his mouth. I'm like, I saw this in a movie.
Very much inspired by the first class Nazi hunting.
But what? I think by issue 5, the X-Men going after him.
You think? Is this where it goes? And like,
well, because it started off with Mystique. You know, saying that I did this for you, and he's like, bullshit. You know, and leaving, I don't know how he went on this rampage, you know, how it turned into that. I thought he was just going to, like, battle with Mystique and all of them, but...
Yeah, it does sort of set him off on a sort of interesting path, and I like the
They still curbed his powers, though. His powers are still inconsistent.
Not really.
Yeah, he does a lot for not having his powers under control.
I really think... I don't know what Bendis is trying to do with this, like, uncanny X-Men has broken powers, but they alluded to maybe it's more mind over matter because he wasn't a part of the Phoenix Five.
Yeah, he wasn't.
But he was affected by them.
I suppose.
Affected him, and that's what they were getting away with. Yeah, but there was one moment in that book where he's, like, battling, and nobody knows who they're battling, then all of a sudden he just pulls a costume together, and they're like, oh, fuck, it's Magneto.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Like, that was the moment.
The art is very good, and it's very from his own head. Like, it's just his inner monologue for most of the thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you like that, it's good. There's, like I said, there's lots of action, but there's also lots of plotting and planning and... He's stalking, you know, kind of serial killer style.
Dexter.
Yeah, I really think it's the same
mutant. Yeah.
Now, Moon Knight.
Oh, no, not again.
Yeah,
it was good.
Warren Ellis. Declan Shalvey.
Oh, never mind.
The art is probably one of the big things. The color is really nice because the Moon Knight character is, like, all white.
Mr. Knight.
He's got, like, his little suit and everything. He's got his limo he pulls up in. But the thing behind
the scene. A self-driving
limo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I
love that.
Well, Google's got him. No, the thing that they're building to is it's establishing that he has multiple personalities, right?
Right.
That's one of Moon Knight's characters.
Bendis beat that to death.
Well, they're taking a different twist. Ellis acknowledges that, but he basically has somebody reveal to Moon Knight or whatever his name is. They're not multiple
Mark
personalities.
Spector.
Well, they're not. It's not. He's not. His brain is not working correctly. He has brain damage from whatever the, was it Khonshu?
Yeah.
Whatever the Egyptian deity slash extraterrestrial did
to him. That resurrected him?
It broke his mind in a certain way that he now has these alien influences in his brain. And he actually, those manifest as these other personalities, these other characters. So it's interesting.
And that was a nice twist.
Yeah.
It's a very Warren Ellis twist.
Well, it's not as Warren Ellis-y as some of his books are, certainly, but it's good. It's solid. It's interesting.
I love when he shows up like on a crime scene and one of the rookie cops are like, oh, it's Moon. And another cop just shuts his mouth, goes, no, we call him Moon Knight. He's a vigilante. Yeah. But Mr. Knight is a concerned citizen that wants to help.
Yes,
he's a consultant.
I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a consulting detective. I mean, yeah. He stands there and basically tells them what they're looking for. And then he basically says, well, I'll take care of this because it's in the sewers. And, you know, I guess that's where he likes
doesn't
to stalk.
Doesn't get any dirt on that pearly white cop.
And, you know, it really works. Like, the moon has different phases.
Yeah.
Khonshu is, you know, has different aspects. And now he is, like, the right hand of Khonshu, where one of his aspects is he protects night travelers, people who travel by night.
Yeah.
And so that's really what he is now. And I really like that take on it, because I've read the Bendis Moon Knight.
Yeah. I liked the Bendis Moon Knight, actually.
It was good.
I really
and
enjoyed
it. Malief?
Malief. I'm not saying it was bad at all, but it was way...
I'm crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Moon Knight is one of those characters that, for the longest time, Marvel has tried to find a good delivery method. Yeah. Like, Captain Marvel's another one of them, that they're always trying, not Carol Danvers, but the original Captain Marvel, like or Mar-Vell, because they had a run in the early 2000s where they had a little bit of fire where like they turned him crazy and it started to catch and it was like, oh, now this is the interesting thing with him. Yeah. There are certain characters that are always trying to show that right angle to present to fans like, this is why this is a good character.
Maybe you'll like this.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll like this. Yeah, no, it's and it's cool. He's basically Marvel's Batman. In a lot of ways, he's kind of a crazy Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all white, so he's like the Batman from Gothopia.
But the problem is they did the supernatural turn on him early on in his career, like with the Khonshu thing, and now they're always having to justify, well, he was brought back by an Egyptian deity, and, you know, he's nuts.
And now they're going back to that. So not that that was Charles Soule, but we mentioned Charles Soule earlier. She-Hulk is still, with its second issue, hilarious Patsy. Patsy Walker slash Hellcat shows up.
She's a mess. And she's a fucking mess.
She just wants to be back in the game, and they go out drinking, and they get to a caper because she basically
sets it up. She goes, come on, let's go take them out.
Let's go pick a fight with some mafia types.
You drink just as much as me. I'm a Hulk.
Yeah, she's like, you have things. He's like, I feel like I haven't been anywhere. I don't have a job. I don't have a man. I go out and hit things sometimes.
I love that he's taking this irreverent tone. It plays to her lawyery stuff a little bit. She's got this funny new assistant who has a monkey.
Yes.
Or whatever. It's like very odd. I keep just wondering what the hell that is. But, you know, she shows up and she's basically the only applicant that wants to have anything to do with her. And just like talks her way into the job and is like there whenever she needs her. It's sort of, I'm sure there'll be something there. But the Patsy Hellcat thing, the art with Polito, I mean, other than maybe her eyes being a little spread out sometimes, looking like she's a little wall-eyed, awesome art. And I'm just so glad they did this.
Who had the last great run on She-Hulk before
probably
this?
Dan Slott.
Dan Slott.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
But it's
why George Byrne. John Byrne's
Well,
stuff
but
fantastic.
I think he was there, and then Dan Slott after that. But they both, like...
No, I was kidding. John Byrne was just like, look at my breast. I'm fucking everything. I'm the Hulk.
But it's like, that's the
Sexy Hulk.
It seems
Sexy
like that, Hulk. That's the key to the She-Hulk, is you don't take her as a character. I mean, you can take her seriously sometimes, but her name is She-Hulk. You got to have some irreverence. You got to have some silliness in
no,
there.
No, it's silly. I mean,
It is. It's fun. It's
she,
definitely fun.
Of all the Hulk-derived characters, has to have made out the best, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, A-Bomb
she got
didn't
all the
do
brains,
so well.
All the beauty... And she's a badass.
Savage Hulk.
Oh, God.
Savage She-Hulk. Red Hulk.
No.
Red Hulk is doing pretty well now.
Yeah. Oh, Thunderbolt.
Thanks, Charles Soule.
No, not Red She-Hulk.
Oh,
that was
Red
awful.
Hulk.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's Bessie Banner up to right now?
She
just
didn't
goes,
exist for a little while.
I don't have a job. She's going to go to Jennifer. I don't have a job. You got things.
Captain America. Are you guys reading this?
Yes.
Rick Remender, he did this crazy, weird Dimension Z storyline. They went through
Which I like.
Oh, I loved it, too.
Arnim Zola,
yeah. Daughter of Zola. The thing that's come out of that, though, is Cap is really in a weird mental space because Jet, Arnim Zola's daughter, has really kind of influenced him in a way to make him question certain things he's always held up as, you know, strong values. And I think this is sort of well-timed because it gets to mistrust of S.H.I.E.L.D. In this last issue I read, he uncovers the city-sized helicarrier, which we basically have seen in the previews for the new Captain America movie. And it's this whole, this one guy, the Iron Nail, who's like a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and now turns sort of, you know, not terrorist, but I mean, he is a terrorist.
No, he's
freedom fighter-ish, sort of trying to destroy S.H.I.E.L.D. from within because he believes it's bad for the world.
We're capitalist pigs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, they've done this thing with Captain America. they've done this before. They did this most recently, I think, was Civil War, where they really played up the S.H.I.E.L.D. is not in it for your best interests, so to speak.
Yep.
And I don't know. I mean, but it's pretty good.
And he's gone
it's
this
really good.
Yeah, it's good. But he's gone this really trippy psychedelic sort of
Doctor Mind Bubble Agent or Weapon Minus One.
Weapon
Minus.
Yeah.
As in like the Weapon X program, yes. But the other direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
They took super serum soldier. the serum, and they mixed it with LSD.
Of course, like you do.
And this guy now, he's been in a vault preserved or whatever. He has the power to make you believe what his reality, you know.
He has this little, like, port out sticking out of his head, and these bubbles, like, form out of it, like, this
thought
energy.
Bubbles?
No, they're mind bubbles.
Mind bubbles.
If they glob onto you, like, onto your head, you can see everything that he wants you to see.
Yeah.
They're self-contained delusions. Like,
so
Mirage.
Man,
right now.
Mastermind is just thinking, I had so much better of a power than you, man.
So he's using it right now to drive Nick Fury Jr. to do his bidding and this to kind of go into a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility. And
can
he convince them it's like a Hydra facility.
Can they just kill off Nick Fury Jr.? Can we just do that?
The thing is, if you don't get out of the bubble somehow, the only way to get out of the bubble without him killing you, because I guess once he's done with you, he just kills you, is to kill yourself in the like mentally
you have to know it's a dream, so you gotta kill yourself to wake yourself up out of the dream.
Exactly. So that's the way out now, so somehow Nick Fury Jr. has to do that. So anyway, it's really good. Klein's doing the art. I just it's fun, it's countercultural, it's Rick Remender, so
Sharon Carter still stuck in Dimension Z?
They have not gone back to Dimension Z.
Okay.
So yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can only assume so. Or she's dead for now. So I do want to talk about Wolverine the X-Men for our X-Men fans. We know there's a lot going on in the X-Books. I know Eric talks a little bit on his bath time with Eric and upcoming.
That was very good.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, the Latour?
Yeah.
So all new creative team for Wolverine and the X-Men. Jason Latour and art by Mahmoud Asrar. It's all about Quentin Quire and the kids, really. It's all
about Quentin Quire and the Phoenix.
No.
Let's just say it like it is.
See,
the Phoenix Enterprise, Phoenix Inc., Phoenix is everywhere.
Basically, the end
okay
of the issue.
Me.
Oh, really?
I'm okay with
you. Haven't hit that point of saturation yet?
Oh, no.
So,
Have I ever?
I know you and Pat are going to be doing a thing with your bath time and do a microsode about the trial of Jean Grey.
Correct.
But I'm curious to know about, do you have a strong aversion to Quentin Quire being a Phoenix or not?
No, because I know Jean got it. I don't care.
Okay.
Now, you know, fine. Now I have young Jean Grey, but then that, the what? The future with the young old Jean?
Yeah.
She said that it was still went to her because she said, don't you hear it calling to me? It wants me.
Uh-huh.
So obviously she still gets it from him.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
So everybody else is a second and also ran. Jean will always be the one Phoenix
Jean,
home.
Well, they go, is it? Oh, crap. There was a redhead that they showed, and I think it was in that one, right?
I can't remember.
They were talking
we've read two issues.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to think, but there was a moment where they're talking about the Phoenix Force, and there's a redhead talking about it. I'm like, what's the fuck the Phoenix and the redheads?
So you're okay with the storyline where it's basically going to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, remember when we realized there's the white hot room and Grant Morrison's
Morrison
at the end of it?
Put these
like,
things
we
in.
All, like,
yeah,
I saw a pink hair guy in there. I'm just like, that is Quentin Quire.
Oh, yeah, I think that they've all taken this from Morrison, but I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not, the art's okay. It's very manga-y, sort of that style. It was okay. I don't know. I think Pat's done. We'll make it one more issue. Give it a go.
It gets better.
Yeah, the second one was good.
Of course, we're going to let you guys talk about Trial of Jean Grey in
the tub.
Will have fun with that.
After I walk around MegaCon in a man-made tub.
So if you are going to MegaCon in like not very many weeks, actually, this I think will come out. The week before MegaCon, it'll be like that Friday. So, you know, if you're listening to this, you're at MegaCon, look for Eric. He'll be walking around in a big bathtub.
In a big bathtub with a cameraman.
Did anybody else see John Barrowman at one of the more recent conventions?
He had his hand on the junk?
No, he had his face pressed up against a guy dressed up as one of the soldiers from Sparta in 300. He just had this rapturous look on his face.
So really, you either need to be scantily clad and really showing off your muscles.
I'm going to be.
Okay. Or bring little cute boy people with you, and then maybe one of the two or both will all.
These are my bubbles. Get them.
Oh, my God.
I'll create my own bubble, my
Could
mind
you do
bubble.
That? They just have like a bubble over their crotch, and that's like their underwear.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, my God. So one more book I want to mention, Miracle Man, if you've not kept up with it. Why?
I have.
I did a comparison today. I put it up on Facebook.
I
saw
that.
Flame On's page.
Modern inking versus classic inking.
Like, it's the same books, but they've done such an amazing job. It really transforms these stories into something that looks very modern. And you read it and you think, oh, this is modern. It's got such an adult... I mean, it was Alan Moore, although I love in the Marvel ones they released, they call him the original writer, which is kind of hilarious. But
I read the originals. They were good.
Yeah, and I didn't realize when I bought a bunch of these that these were the ones they were retelling, so I actually just got this out because I was like, oh, I wonder where this fits in the story. And it's pretty much the third issue, so I have like bits and pieces of it. But if you're a big fan or if you've been curious about Miracle Man, because it's been out of print, Marvel's been releasing these nice little $4 or $5 issues that have... like back matter and a couple other stories from different like Warrior magazine and all this other stuff, and Alan Davis, some of his early arts in this, and it's cool because it doesn't look as Alan Davis-y art as it does now. You know, when he does like Wolverine, everybody looks like they have wide faces and clothing from the '70s. It's
and the smiles.
Still sort of the
hate the
smiles.
Way he draws his damn smile.
So you'll be at MegaCon. That's coming up. We just had an episode right before this in the feed. We had our little Divine Grace. Episode of Dragons and New Spandex. If you have not heard the Divine Grace, you owe it to yourself to go back one issue or one episode in this feed and listen to it. She is hilarious. She is satirical. She is biting sarcasm. Like,
super fantastic.
But wrapped in a southern drawl that will melt your heart. And she actually has some really good insight to drag culture as far as RuPaul. She knows a few. She's written for a few of the queens. So you definitely want to check this out. We are all on social media now, and email, I should
say. And email.
Although you should probably get a Twitter at some point.
I need a Twitter now?
Well, you don't need a Twitter. But Flame On Show on Facebook. Flame On Podcast on Twitter. We had to be different.
Mm.
Flame On Show is our website. There's good content there. Now there's emails for everyone on the show. But we all have emails, including Jeff at Flame On Show. That's the new one we've just put out.
I said from last
this
show.
Is a straight man from hell.
From
flameon.com.
Like I said last time, I'm still looking for great ideas. So if you guys have great
for a handle,
great show ideas.
Flaming heterosexual has got to be the handle.
I like the flaming heterosexual.
And besides, flaming heterosexual, that's been around for years. That was
it does
since it's, I moved to Orlando.
I think you described yourself as that. Actually.
I did. I coined that.
So the
trademark.
Other thing is,
don't copy.
We want your feedback. We got some feedback from a listener in Houston, I believe.
Yeah, there is a listener who, one, is adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Texas. Uh-huh. And two...
Did you do that stalking thing?
I didn't stalk him, but he kept showing up.
So is he on our Facebook?
Yeah, he's on our Facebook.
You don't remember his name?
Joel.
Oh, Joel, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I want to say it's like Joel Bradshaw or something.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
so, like, shout out to him. He's on, like, our own private booster club out of Texas.
Actually, and he's got the Superboy shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he's
the one doing the flex, the arm flex.
He is
in the photo.
He is adorable.
He's super adorable,
and he does comment a lot. If you are not on our Facebook page, who posted that?
Me. Are you surprised?
Oh my God, you've been posting like some not porn, but you know, nice man candy on here.
We have been maintaining the Facebook page.
We've been doing
no,
good.
I actually, I'm very happy with the Facebook presence. We are over 500 fans, which or likes, I should say. Which
thank
is
you
very
so much, everyone.
Exciting. I would love to see it go even higher. Oh, so if you are a fan of ours, you should definitely talk to your friends and share it with others. So I heard my and my brother's dear friend and fraternity brother, Brant.
Yes.
Brought you something.
He brought me a birthday cake on my birthday.
That's such a sweetie.
He's super, super sweet.
He has become a huge fan of Flame On, which is funny because I don't even remember when it came up in conversation with him, but he basically went and mainlined from the beginning.
Mm.
See, Pat's been mainlining Pop Culture Happy Hour from the most recent back. Brant, from the very terrible, awkward beginning, all the way to, I think he's a year behind.
He's still a year behind. So he'll get this in maybe 5 to 6 months.
But it's hilarious because he'll get the stuff and he'll be like, oh, I just listened to such and such and I heard you guys talk about this. And he'll come up with something from the episode. I'm like, that sounds funny. I don't remember saying that. I don't remember talking about that at all.
Because it probably wasn't from
you. Yeah, really, probably wasn't. But
you still
don't
exist to him, Jeff.
He is so supportive now. And when he said he wanted to bring you a cake on your birthday, I said that would be amazing.
It was. That's so sweet. Because I'm not a huge birthday cake, traditional party sort of person. So everyone knows you don't have to worry about that, just whatever. Mm-hmm. But that was the only birthday cake I got. So even though I didn't want one, it made me realize, oh, somebody thought about me and got me a cake.
So next year you're going to want cakes from everybody.
Not everybody. Well,
just most people.
No, just donuts. Just donuts.
Out of Titusville.
Out of Titusville. Donuts for you.
Oh, I haven't been there.
Oh, we have.
Wait, was the donut place? What is this place?
Best donuts in the world.
I'm a donut connoisseur.
Whore. You have to drive out to Titusville.
Yeah. Sluts.
Drive out
to Titusville.
I don't
need to get paid for it. I'll eat donuts for free.
Go to Dixie Crossroads for dinner.
Yeah.
Get some good seafood.
Get some rock shrimp.
Rock shrimp. You go to the
donuts for you.
Donuts.
They close at 3.
Oh,
fuck. 3 in the afternoon.
What's the place called?
Donuts for You.
Donuts for You.
Never going to make it out there.
No, maybe what you do is you try to swindle in on Eric and Oral's hookup.
Oh.
Okay.
We asked Megan and Neil to bring us donuts, and they bring us donuts. They brought us, what, 6?
Yeah. They brought us a dozen.
Okay.
So if you're in the Titusville area, you should check this place out.
So can I go to my dentist and then go to the donut shop?
Yeah. Our dentist is in Titusville.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This.
And I was just there.
All right, before you go, let us place our orders.
I'm going back in April for some fillings.
Fantastic.
I'll let you know. So please reach out to us. I love hearing from our fans. And we've had so many more comments lately on Facebook. We've had some good retweets and comments, or whatever you call it, tweeting back at people. The con season is coming. I know we're going. A couple of us are going to Heroes in Charlotte. So if you're at Heroes Con, definitely look forward to looking for us there. And maybe even either GamerX 2 or BentCon this year. Got my fingers crossed for at least one of them. Probably BentCon. Please look for us. And if you're interested in getting any of your questions answered, we really did enjoy that back in that day when we had our little question and answer thing. And I would love to do some more relationship advice.
From us?
We
talked about
this. I don't have sex. Oral's in a loveless world.
We talked about this. It would be kind of fun to be giving terrible
advice. Jared's the only one who can give advice.
Yeah, at this
point. Because he's successful.
I'm in a healthy relationship.
You're straight. You don't care.
Hey, it applies.
I'm sorry. I have a choice, and I do not have to cater to you. According to your brother, I could say no.
Oh, there
you go. Yeah, he did leave that window open.
Yes, I am a discriminatory bastard, but I am in a healthy relationship now, so that's what matters. But we really do want your questions, whether it be relationship, comic book. God, I don't even care. We'll explain gay culture to you. I have had people ask me 5 times in the last 2 months, what is a bear? What is this bear thing? Why are you a bear? I mean, whatever your question is, we will answer it, no matter how involved and in whatever. We'll do whatever you want.
Why do people call me a power bottom? I don't understand.
No, we've already been.
We actually, I think we did do
we
that.
We did do a power bottom thing.
Or go back and listen to all our previous episodes. But no, we'd love to hear from you. Every time we get any comment or feedback, it just makes us really happy to know you guys are enjoying the show. And that's what matters.
Yes.
So, thank you guys for listening. And on that note,
say it.
I'm not fucking saying it.
Flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of Tops and Bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.
Hey, baby.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.